You have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Mark 10, 46 to 52. You don't have a Bible, sit next to a Christian. But I know that we use the digital Bible too, but it's really nice to have a physical Bible. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 onwards, and I'll read it from the Message translation. And today I'm going to speak on faith. One of my favorite subjects. They spent some time in Jericho as Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people. A blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." Many tried to hush him up, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks, called him over. They called him, "It's your day. Get up. He's calling you to come." Throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus, "your faith has saved and healed you." In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. Now, faith is something that is almost becoming non-existent in a modern intellectual world. In very simple terms, faith means believing without seeing. And the rational mind says, seeing is believing. And it's tough. You see, like for example, the other day I had a severe headache. And yes, we pray and say, "God, heal my headache." But you know that there is the tablet that helps you. And so I take the tablet. I do pray, but I took the tablet and headache went off and I started to speak on that Sunday. And this is where we are. We have so many options that faith becomes the last thing that is left in life. And so the more facilities we have, the more opportunities, the more intellectual we have become, there is very little room for us in order to have faith in God. When was the last time you have your own story of faith? Just think for a few seconds. When was the last time you experienced God in such an amazing way that you can surely tell the world that this is my faith story? Today's world, we have become good in collecting stories of faith. We get inspired. You know, faith is nice when it comes to hearing somebody else's story. But for you to be in that place, it is quite a challenge. And here is one man called Bartimaeus. And Jesus commends his faith. Now, Bartimaeus, interesting man. Bartimaeus' name. Bar means son and Timaeus means unclean. So the meaning of this man's name is son of unclean. I can't think of someone having such a hopeless start on this earth. Son of unclean. That is his name. Imagine, gets up in the morning. "Good morning, unclean. How are you, unclean? Did you clean yourself, unclean? You look unclean, unclean." You know, just a wrong name is enough to tarnish your image. This man had such a bad start. Top of that, he is blind. He has physical challenges. 3, he's a beggar, not a glorified occupation. There's nothing good, nothing honorable, nothing beautiful about this man that you can look at. When I look at my life, I had similar challenges. When I compare with Bartimaeus, it was like there were a lot of comparisons, a lot of common things. Even though I grew up in a family where my father was an aerospace scientist, the expectations were too high. I could not keep up to his expectations. Day in and day out, every time I was compared to my siblings, compared to my neighbors, compared to everyone, it was hard to keep up to that. And once you don't do well in studies in India, you become the black sheep of the family. In fact, they say that if you have failed in education, you have failed in life. There is no future for you. And it was hard. And I was born with asthma, and from the age of 2 till the age of 16, I was on wrong medication. And as a result of that, 60% of my lungs got damaged. My immune system broke down. But doesn't matter for the society. It's all about how have you figured your studies. And it was really tough. I was ashamed of myself, ashamed of everything. You know, I was ashamed of my body. I would cover myself completely from my neck till my feet, till my wrists. You would not see any portion of my body other than my face and my hands. I was ashamed of myself. Regardless of what the weather was, you would see that I was completely covered. I still remember I was 13 years old in my 9th grade, being in a class where I was mocked and made fun of all the time. And I just got used to that, thinking I was born useless. But this day, the teacher forgot to bring the skeleton map. And we were 35 boys and girls in the classroom. And she said, oh, I forgot to bring my skeleton map. And we need a volunteer. And so she forces me to come in front of everyone. I'm standing in front of 35 boys and girls. And she tells me, Benny, take off your shirt. I was one. I would not even show my arm. And here I had to take off my shirt. Then she says to the whole class, okay, you can come and count the number of ribs on Benny's body, because we're going to talk about ribs today. It was hard. It was painful. It was hurting. But at the same time, for the teacher, she thinks that Benny is anyway useless. I can treat him the way I want because he's anyway useless. He's worthless. We can do anything. I could never even call my own parents and say that this is what happened in the school, because I know what will happen. My father will say, Benny, if you studied well, nobody will treat you like this. In our culture, we humiliate children in public and we appreciate them in secret. So it was hard to gain anybody's appreciation in life. So that was my background. To that point, even at 16, I contemplated to commit suicide. But my life was a bit more better than Bartimaeus, because I had a nice name. My name is Benny. Benny in Hebrew means my son. In Swahili, it means together. In French, it means blessed. Even though my meaning and my life had no comparison, but still, I had a nice name. But my life was messed up. Now, this man, even though his life was so messed up, Jesus commends his faith. You just imagine, he even called on the name of Jesus, and surrounding people hushed him up and said, shh. And that shows that people did not even believe that this man was worthy of a miracle. I don't know if there's anyone here, as a parent, you have given up even praying for your children. Might be praying for someone. You have prayed enough, but you think there's no impact, there's no effect. I'm just fed up. Might be you have given up on someone. I don't know. But I'll tell you that here is a man who has given up on everyone, by everyone. And yet, when Jesus calls him, Jesus honors his faith. Now, what did he do? The Bible says that all that he did was he had a cloak. He threw off his cloak. He jumped up and he met Jesus. That's all the action is. How can you learn about faith with such little action? Something that we do on a daily basis. Throw off our cloak, jump up and meet someone. Simple. But when you go back to the historical background of those times, for you to be a beggar, you have to go through medical scrutiny. You just cannot become a beggar just like that. See, giving alms to the poor was very much part of the Jewish tradition that God had commanded. But how do you know who is genuinely poor? Who is genuinely a beggar? Those days, what they did, once they check and find out that you have physical challenge, and once you have been approved by those, whoever does that, they give them a special cloak. Now that cloak was exclusively designed for a beggar. So when a beggar wore that cloak, it meant that he has been officially recognized and authorized by the government of Israel. So this man, when he wore that cloak, it meant that he is a recognized beggar. That cloak was everything for him. His income, his future, his identity, his career, it was everything. And the day he wore that cloak, the day he would make money. The day he doesn't wear that cloak, he will not make money. And when Jesus calls him, look at this man's incredible faith, that he threw off his cloak before meeting Jesus. In today's world, what we would have done? We would have folded the cloak, put it under our shoulder, gone and met Jesus. Just in case, if I don't receive my eyesight, I can always go back to my old profession. That is called Plan B and Plan C. But in faith, there is no Plan B and Plan C. That is faith, because the Bible says God is not a man that he lies, nor a son of man who changes his mind. Now, when we have a God who does not cheat, who does not change, who does not give us false promises, where is the room for us to even doubt? And yet, we do doubt. I've had challenges with that too. So why are we not able to put our entire trust and faith in him, even for our future? Sometimes we have more faith in the news rather than a God who created us. People can get gripped with fear. I've been closely watching about North Korea. I've been there twice. So, you know, I have seen inside. I've seen things. And it's more than just the news thing for me. I'm just carefully watching things. And I know how the military functions there. How one man makes every decision out there. And yet, truly, like what the song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Otherwise, seeing what is happening in the world, you're gripped with fear. And you need to have faith that God is still in control, that God reigns. And the lesson that I learned from this man is that faith is needed before the miracle, not after the miracle. Because after the miracle, it is a testimony. It's a story to tell. Faith is needed before. And many times we would say, I don't know here, but in India it's very common. People say, Benny, if God does this, this, this for me, then I will put my trust in him. I will give my life to Jesus. And that is like a business deal or a contract. But here is you must have faith in him before seeing the miracle, before seeing that breakthrough happening in your life. And that's what happened with Bartimaeus. He threw his cloak even before meeting Jesus. And he met Jesus and he received his eyesight instantly. What an amazing faith he had. Because that cloak was everything for him. And he did it. And today, as you journey here on this earth, how is your faith level? How is your trust level on Jesus? Are you able to hear his voice on a daily basis? Do you have the courage to say yes to him, even though it seems to be a bit foolish in the eyes of the world? Now, here is a man who received his prayer instantly. And we all wish that we can have those instant prayers, instant miracles, instant results. But God does it in his own sweet time. And his timing, that's why timing is Father's business. It's not us. We'll never know. But we know that he's a good God. He gives good gifts. He loves us. And it's hard to understand, but he does. Here, when I look back into my journey, my dream was to go to one country. That was my ultimate dream in life. I stayed very close to the airport. I used to see the planes going. I used to hear my father talk about how he designed one of these launching vehicles for the satellite or this plane. But that's it. That's all my interaction and understanding was. But I was dreaming that one day, I hope I can sit in an aeroplane and take off. I was not concerned if it was going to land or no, but I just wanted to take off. That's all my dream was. And I went and asked God, God, what is your dream for my life? Because the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Because at 16, when I was at the verge of committing suicide, is when I heard the voice of Jesus saying, Benny, even though you are called useless, I still want you. I can transform your life and make you a new person. And I said, why? Why do you want me? What good will you get out of me? I have 6 months to live medically. I have no education, no character, no music, nothing. Why would you want to have a friend who is so useless? Have you ever come across a company that is willing to employ useless people? Have you ever seen an advertisement saying, useless people wanted, Never. In fact, today even useful people are not able to get jobs. Educated people have been made redundant. Here Jesus says, I want you even though you are useless. That is the speciality of Jesus. He takes people who are completely broken and transforms them and brings something beauty out of ashes. But it was hard to understand them. And so I said, okay, Jesus, I'll give you my life. And I gave my life to Jesus. And he brought the transformation. First thing I learned was that I was created intentionally. I was created for a purpose. See, once your purpose is gone, there is nothing to live. It's over. That's what the enemy does. First thing the enemy does is to destroy your purpose. Then you just want to quit. And first thing, it was so nice to know that I was intentionally created for a purpose. Even though at the time when I looked at my academic report, there was no intentional purpose in that. I was completely useless. The only good thing that I was good at was my signature. I was good at forging signatures. Excellent. So good that nobody could catch me. Like, you know, I had to get my father's signature. I was good at doing that. It was so good that even the principal couldn't understand what kind of father would sign when he's only getting single-digit marks out of 100. The next thing they said, get your mother's signature. I did the same thing. That was excellent. My parents were concerned, saying, why is the principal not sending us any note when my son is not doing well? So they wrote a letter and said, go and get your principal signature. And I was so good with my principal signature that I signed my principal signature. So life went so smooth, so well, till one day, accidentally, all the three met together at the same place to discuss about me. And now I was caught. They brought and they said, wow. Of course, nobody appreciated my talent at that moment. But still, you know, I was caught red-handed. That was me. I was like, there was nothing good. And here Jesus says, I'm going to give you a future. So I asked Jesus, what is your dream for my life? Because you are the one who extended my life. And he says, Benny, my dream for you is to travel to every country by 2010. This was in 2002, being a Viva missionary. I said, God, that's a very nice dream. But you know, I don't think you have an idea who I am. I think you've mistaken me. Because I started to give him the reasons why this is impossible. Sometimes we feel like updating God with the latest situation as though he's not sure of. So I told him, one, I said, I have an Indian passport which needs visas to almost every country. And at the time, I had already accumulated two stamps of rejection, one from the US embassy and one from UK embassy. And here Jesus says, I'm going to take you to every country. Two, I said, I only have $25 a month being a Viva missionary. Are you sure that you can use this money to take me to the nations? Thirdly, my health was so weak. Constantly I was visiting the hospital for oxygen. I was hit by a javelin at the age of 12, so I have a problem with my spine. And fourthly, till today, historically, there's never ever been a musician who's been to every country. Never. Neither Michael Jackson or Mariah Carey or whoever it is. You know, I said, if no one has been to every country as a musician, what makes you think that this is possible? See, that's what faith does is faith gives you the courage to believe when physically it is impossible. And I said, okay, Jesus, if this is what you want me to do, then you have to be my provider. So I made simple financial commitments. Until today, I followed that. In fact, many of the financial colleges where I've spoken, they still cannot comprehend how could this principle work. Four principles. First thing, I will never ask for money. Two, I will never borrow money from anyone. Three, I will never take a loan from the bank. And fourthly, I will never trust the credit card. For those who think that credit card is the only way, I'll tell you that humans existed before the credit card came into this world. And God was there to provide. Of course, sometimes our own greed puts us in a place where we are not able to make this decision. See, before, when you had to count the money, you know $1,000 meant at least 10 $100 notes. But now swiping is the same. Whether it's $1 or $1,000, it's the same swipe. So it's hard for us to know the value of money. So we have to be more intentional in knowing what is the value of it. And so, and me being a missionary, I didn't have a regular salary. So I knew that I have to be careful. If I'm going to take some money from someone, I have no clue where it will come from. So I had these principles. I said, Jesus, you have to be my provider. So with that, I set my journey. And you can show the picture on the screen, please, the next picture. So that is my world map of how I traveled. And this is my one passport. So this one passport is a combination of 15 books inside. And my favorite part of carrying this passport, I always say, is at the immigration desk. When I put my passport across the counter, you must see the facial expression of the officer. It's just priceless. You know, many times they are a bit grumpy. They're trained to be grumpy there. And so because they're not supposed to smile, they should not be very friendly. And here, when they see a passport like this, they are confused. And some of the smart ones would say, sir, don't come as a family. Come one person at a time. And when I tell them that I am this one person, they cannot understand. They'll say, where did you get the money to travel? That's the first question. What do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a missionary. They could not understand. When I tell them that I put my faith in Jesus, he's been my provider. In fact, I remember when I was caught in Boston, I was just there for one night. They could not understand, why did I fly from India for one night in Boston? I said, why not? They said, yeah, but with your money and with your job, I don't think it's possible. So I started 3 hours. I was interrogated by 4 officers. I answered all their questions because by then you're an expert in answering questions. You know, and they were frustrated because other than faith, they were looking for answers. How could you travel the world like this? I said, I have no other answer other than my faith in Christ. In fact, in the end, the airport manager comes to me and says, I wish Jesus can provide for me like the way he provides for you. You see, you become a living testimony of God. And today I am a living testimony. But I'll tell you, I started off with a disaster. Some of you might be you have prayed. Might be you have just had a rough journey. Then you would see that, wow, I wish I can also have a journey like Bartimaeus. I meet Jesus and instantly I will get my miracle. But he has his own ways. And when I look at my first passport, 19th of February 2002 is when I took my first flight as a concert artist. Went from Delhi to Moscow in Russia. Jesus told me, I'm going to take you to every country by 2010. So I obeyed his voice like a lunatic. I went to all these, started off my journey. People mocked at me. They made fun of me. They said, who do you think you are? And all these things. But I just ignored all those voices and took this journey. All the money that I had, I saved up, took this first journey. When I landed in Moscow, they saw my passport, very empty. And they said, give me $50. So they wanted $50 as a bribe for stamping my passport. But I'm a Christian and I'm an Indian. I don't give bribe. I'm a different Indian, but I don't give bribe. And so when I refused to pay bribe, they said, then we'll not let you. So I prayed. I really prayed. You know, you are in such difficult situation there. After praying and praying, for 30 hours, they detained me in the airport. For 30 hours, I was treated like a criminal. I have the visas. I have everything there. I couldn't understand, other than this bribery, why they wouldn't allow me inside. After 30 hours, they called me and they said, we have decided to deport you back to India. What a glorious opening ceremony I had. It was challenging. It was tough. It was painful. But I'll tell you, in the midst of all this, I've learned that, you know, faith is not based on your circumstances. It's based on his will, that we have to trust him. Just because you're going through a challenging time, a difficult time, doesn't mean that God does not exist, doesn't mean that God is not near, doesn't mean that God is not in control. And so I struggled, but I put my faith in him, and he let me through. That is what faith is. Faith is not based on just how the results are. Faith is before that. And God carried me through. And on 22nd of November 2010, I arrived in my last country, Pakistan, and I broke 6 world records. And one of them is I became the fastest man in the world to travel to every country in the shortest time. 245 nations at the time, including Antarctica, in 6 years, 6 months, and 22 days. And God did the miracle. He provided everything. And today, I could stand up to any kind of a person, an atheist, a businessman, a president of a nation. I could just sit and share the goodness of Jesus. In fact, recently I received a letter from the Prime Minister of India stating that I should vouch for his program called Clean India. And he sent these letters to few of the prominent people in India. And it was interesting that I got this letter. And the category that he put me in was under the category of teachers and intellectuals. No, it was interesting that I couldn't finish my 10th grade and the Prime Minister put me under the category of teachers and intellectuals. See, look how Jesus, he restored my past, he redeemed my past, and he gave me a place where he has put me in places where I don't even qualify. That is what he can do with your life, with your family, with your future. It doesn't matter what the economy says, doesn't matter what the government predicts, but he is in control. But do we have faith that he is in control? It's challenging. I remember one of the stories when I look at this world map is when going to Somalia. Now, Somalia, you hear the word Somalia, your faith automatically increases. Because, you know, pirates are there. Everything, what you see in the movie is reality over there. When I went there, I saw this plane. I was going to take off from Djibouti to Somalia. When I saw the aircraft, I'll tell you, you pray your last prayer, you know, because it's in such a bad condition. One wing, they have tied a rope, another wing, duct tape, and you just wonder, is this plane going to really land? So I took off, and the only foreigner in the plane, all of them are locals. I'm sitting there praying and, of course, trusting the Lord for this journey. And it's a two-hour journey, but after 1 hour, the plane starts to descend. So I called the steward and I said, sir, the plane is going down. He said, yes, it is. I said, why? He said, oh, we have some empty seats. We want to pick up some passengers on the way. I said, this is an aeroplane. It's not a bus that you can just stop wherever you feel like. And they said, no, it's common. What do we do with empty seats? For sure, it landed on a field called Galkayo, nothing but a field. They picked up a few passengers and a few armed guys. Guns escorted those passengers and then we took off. Everyone felt normal except me because I'm not used to plane going down whenever it feels like, you know. But I've learned that safety is not in the absence of danger, but it is in the presence of God. If I'm going to really hold on to these things, I will not even go out of my home. I want to challenge you. Has fear gripped you? You need to have faith in God that He is the answer for us and for our tomorrow. As I conclude, I went back to Jesus in 2012 because by then I had no more countries left. I'd been to 257 countries. South Sudan was my last country. I went there when it was 6 days old. I watched carefully for Scotland. They didn't become a country. Now I'm waiting for Catalonia in Spain. Don't think that they will become a country, but I've been closely watching and there's no more countries left. And I said, Jesus, what do you want me to do next? What is your next plan for my life? Because I had reached at that point, I had enough money, enough opportunities, doing about 300 concerts every year. Life became so smooth that I didn't need God anymore. And I said, God, you have given me so much that the abundance has become a curse rather than a blessing. I started off with $25 a month, had this beautiful journey of faith, times where I didn't even have the toothpaste to brush for the next day, and somebody suddenly comes and says, happy birthday, they give me a toothpaste, you know. It was a beautiful journey, but once abundance comes, you know, it just hits you hard. What do we do? And so I said, God, I've reached a dangerous point in my life, and I want to really trust you and live by faith. And you know, God takes these prayers very seriously. So he says, Benny, I want you to go and buy a piece of land. I said, God, land is very expensive. Buying coffee and buying land is two different prices. How will you provide? And he says, no, don't worry, I will provide for you. So I went and spoke to the landowner. I said, God is telling me to buy a piece of land. So he shows me this land, and I asked him how much. He said, it's going to be $300,000. Now, that's a lot of zeros in Indian rupees. I couldn't imagine how God could provide. So I went back to Jesus and I said, God, how will you provide so much money? And I was really expecting a big miracle, but first thing he says, go and empty your bank account. I said, but I'm a missionary. You should not take money from me. You should take money from the others. You know. And he says, no, Benny, go and empty your bank account. And I knew exactly what God was doing. He wanted to build my faith. And right now, my obstacle was the abundance that God had given me. This is my story. I'm not telling that this is for everyone. But everyone should have your own personal journey of faith. So I emptied everything. And I didn't know how much was there. But God said, I'll bless your account. I don't know how money came in. It was so much. When I emptied everything, there was $200,000. I was sure. So I took all that money and gave it to the landowner. Now, he has known me as a kid. He said, where did you get this money? So I told him what God did, 13 years of travels. He was so moved. He said, this has to be Jesus. He said, the rest of the $100,000 is my gift towards you. Now, if the landowner is moved, then it has to be God, because they are very difficult to be moved. And so God provided. I bought the piece of land. And then people asked me, what are you going to do with this? I said, I don't know. And they said, why did you buy? I said, because God told me to buy it. You see, you need to have faith. You don't need answers for everything. Just obedience is the key. I obeyed. I bought the land. Then I said, God, what next? He said, Benny, I want you to build a big cafe to reach out to young urban college students who are suicidal, depressed, and lonely. You know, India has 800 million young people. It's almost three times the USA. Only young people below the age of 35. The highest deaths in India among young people is not through suicide, not through accidents or sickness. It is through suicide. The highest deaths. And so God called us to reach out to the educated people. And so he says, build this cafe. So you can show the next picture, please. So he tells me to build this building. And I said, God, how will that work? When I called the builder, he said, oh, it'll take 17 months for me to build this and it'll cost you $1 million. This was impossible to imagine and comprehend. And he says, no, Benny, I will be your provider. The next picture, please. So this is how the cafe looks inside. It has it's a 400-seater cafe. And God says, only serve chai, only tea, nothing else. No coffee, no biscuits, nothing, only tea. And truly, his ways are very different, actually. It says his ways are higher, but for me, sometimes it's very different, very interesting. You see, when someone says it was an interesting sermon, it doesn't mean that it was very nice, but also it was difficult to understand, you know. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but he says, only chai. And the price of the tea is decided by the students. I said, God, how will this work? He says, I will be your provider. You need to have faith. And yes, he stretches your faith. And I said, okay, God. So he tells me to build this cafe. So he says, the builder says, $1 million. So I go to Jesus and I said, God, how will you provide this? He says, Benny, use your CDs as your tool. I said, God, CDs are outdated. Everything is digital. Look at our laptops. They don't even have CD players anymore. He says, no, I'm going to bless your CDs. And it's hard. I said, God, the market is low and all this. He says, yeah, I know that. Then he says, don't put a price for the CDs. Let people decide that price. I said, God, I come from India and anything that is free, we take it very seriously. Are you really sure that something like this would work? And honestly, his ways are so different. It's like, you know, the Jericho wall, and then might be Joshua expected something like a bomb or something to break this. The last thing you would expect is sing some songs and shout and the walls will come down. What an eco-friendly way to bring the wall down. But you see, God has his own ways of doing it. But today I want to challenge your faith. Your understanding is, are you willing to say yes to Jesus, though it seems to be quite a silly thing to do? So I said, okay, Jesus, 17 months, worked hard, did 800 concerts. And everywhere I went, I kept my CDs. I told people, you decide the price, whatever you feel led by God. And then he tells me to do 100% tithing for 14 months, which I've never done before. It was an interesting journey. I just obeyed what God told me to do. And in the 17th month, by then, $1 million came through CD sales. You know, the highest I received for one CD was $10,000. God was so faithful. And he gets all the glory and the credit for this. And he did that. And it's been 2 years now since we have run this place. And amazing. Every day about 50 to 60 students from different walks of faith walk in. Very intelligent, very rational. We sit down and we listen. Every week we are able to rescue one young boy or a girl from committing suicide. Students even come with hands bleeding because they've been cutting. And they're fed up with life. Students have come, even one girl, 17-year-old came. She came at 7 in the morning, but we opened the cafe only at 11. She came into the cafe by 11. She walked in. She said, I've already kept the rope ready in my room. I'm going to kill myself today. I'm going to commit suicide by hanging. I just thought, let me try one last cup of chai. She walked in. We listened. Our goal is 80% listening and 20% talking. We listened and listened for 4 hours. And then we shared the value of Christ to her. She went back. We didn't know whether she was going to survive or no. And in the evening, she sent a text saying that I have processed what you have told and I've chosen to live today. So stories like this have come up just by mere listening to them and then sharing the love of Christ. So it is God's way of doing things. We were rated as among the top 11 cafes of the city of Bangalore of 9 million people. We only serve chai. And we are still rated the best. See, it's only God's goodness and grace. I challenge you. What is the Lord convicting your heart with regards to your own personal journey of faith? What is the cloak that you need to throw off that God is telling you to do? And I'll tell you, ultimately, He will be the victor. Just like what He did. In fact, the best thing about our cafe, the best part of our cafe is our toilets. The last picture, please. So this is how our toilets look. They are incredible. We call it the world's best toilet. In fact, Jeremy Camp came and he said, Benny, this is the first time I ever took a selfie in a toilet. You know, and they're so musical. It's so good that sometimes the students come and say, sir, the toilet looks so good, I don't feel like using it. Now, when was the last time you felt about a toilet like that? You know, but everything is designed to value the life of an individual. In fact, after the end of the service, my wife and myself will be there at the table, at the CD counter, and you're welcome to pick up a copy or two. And again, whatever you feel led by God, you're welcome to give. And I'm going to close by playing this song called You Raise Me Up. With 40% lungs, in 2012, God asked me to pick up a brand new instrument, the pan flute, to play at the Paralympic Games in London. And I said, God, how can I play the pan flute with 40% lungs? I can't even breathe properly. He says, Benny, if I can use 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000, don't you think I can use 40% lungs to play the pan flute? So ever since then, I stopped giving ideas to God how to do a miracle, you know, because He knows what to do. And all that we need is obedience. That is our part. So I said, okay, God, I picked up the pan flute, typed on YouTube how to play the pan flute. And I prayed. For the first time in my life, I'm picking the pan flute. Very different from the guitar. In 6 days, I was able to play my first piece. Within a month's time, I ended up playing at the Paralympic Games. What is impossible for Jesus to do a miracle in your life?